Joining us now, he is Golf Canada's Chief Championship Officer for the RBC Canadian Open. Bill Paul joins us. Bill, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. How's everybody this morning?
Oh, we're doing great. It's interesting. Your two-time defending champion, Johnny Vegas, had a little bit of an adventure this week at the Open Championship, not arriving till about 20 minutes before his tee time, or 2 hours before his tee time, with no golf clubs because of visa and travel issues and everything. Hopefully things go a little bit smoother as he comes back to try and three-peat at your event.
I certainly hope so. Yeah, I heard about that, and sometimes you can go through these customs, whether it's our two countries or overseas, and sometimes you breeze through them, and sometimes you just have one slip up. In some cases with these players, only because I've dealt with them for a long time, it's a passport that's nearing expiry or could be expired. So it's certainly an interesting. It's not a great way to start a tournament, I can tell you that.
Oh, it must have been. I mean, it's just miserable to stand on the practice tee while your caddy and you are trying to take the plastic off your new clubs that you had to get out of the pro shop, essentially, and your caddy is going bag to bag to adjacent golfers asking, can I get some tees? Got any markers? Can I get a towel? I mean, that has how you can manage to pull it back together from that, I do not know.
You know, I'll tell you one story. There was a player named David Frost who won this tournament, and David showed up here. I'm going back to 93, and David's clubs did not arrive in time, and they still couldn't find, well, it was not only in time, they never arrived. So we took him down to a local golf shop where he bought a set of Hogan irons that he was playing at the time. So off the rack, and, the equipment vans are here, so they made up some kind of driver for him. He ended up winning the tournament. So sometimes the off-the-shelf stuff worked well.
Yeah, so, one of the things that we always, talk to the tournament representatives about, and, we see evidence of this at Carnoustie. I mean, Carnoustie in the past we've always seen has been very green and very lush and very thick rough, and you don't get a lot of rollout, and that's what makes the golf course play really long and really difficult. So obviously their conditions have impacted how the golf course plays. What's going on at the Abbey this year? What kind of winter and what kind of spring and summer leading up to the event have we had?
Well, I can tell you from, present time, I really think this may be the best shape that the Abbey's been in. We've had it was probably a typical springtime that sort of we had a lot of highs, and then we had a lot of lows and sunshine and rain, and there was never any sort of long period of consistency. So, and the golf course became relatively lush quickly. We got into the summer, and over the past month, we've had almost 20 or 23 days of just straight, 90 plus weather. But the golf course has held out well. It is in great shape. We are extremely pleased. It won't be as firm and fast as it was a few years ago, where balls were just running when it was just baked, not unlike Carnoustie now. But it'll be the guys are going to come here and really, really enjoy it.
Well, it's funny. People think I'm nuts because they're always asking Mark and I about our favorite golf courses, and I've been blessed to play at Grand Wailea, down in Pinehurst, all these courses, and I tell them a bucket list golf course has to be the Abbey. And they're like, what? Go play golf in Canada? I said, yes. Not only is the course amazing, does the 17th hole have like 17 bunkers? I found every one of them. Mm-hmm. I discovered high alcohol content beer at the Abbey, as well as Coffee Crisp, which you can't get down here. Coffee Crisp is maybe the greatest mass manufactured candy in the world, and I discovered it at the cart person brought them over and gave them to us, and I couldn't even swing. I had so much chocolate on my hands. It was awesome. But also the number 11 par 4, a 390 drive from John Daly in 1994. I mean, it is by far the favorite place I've ever played golf, and to hear you say that the winter worked out well and it's going to be lush and green, what is just amazing. So I hope people tune in and watch it if they can't get up and see it. And I'm curious, when you have an opportunity after a great winter and a nice spring, how does the tour look at that course? Because I look at it as having played in the NHL Players Association events at that time of year, which was much later, much earlier in the year, excuse me. And do they look at it and say, hey, we can really massage this thing and make it what we want in terms of the rough and the speed?
Sure. So one of the, you know, one of the great things when this club or any club is hosting a tournament is just watching it change. And so, you know, the tour and us here at Golf Canada, we work together with the club to, you know, there's a fall visit, there's a spring visit. This is where we want to get to in terms of fairway height, green speed, you know, what we want the rough to be. I mean, Mother Nature obviously plays a big part in that. So, you know, we set our goals early. This is what we want the course to be. Mother Nature cooperates. And in the past week here where it's been shut down, you know, we'll be closing. You can just watch this place just transform into this piece of art. And yeah, it's much like any other golf course. I think the PGA Tour does a wonderful job of setting up golf courses, preparing golf courses. And, you know, Glen Abbey, as you were looking at it over the past 3 or 4 days, it's been beautiful weather here. And you just watch, especially late in the day when the shadows come over the golf course, it's just so beautiful. But it's just watching it. It's watching it when no one's on it, and then the superintendent and his staff are preparing it. You know, whether it's edging bunkers and just things that they can't do while play is going on here. And so when the members are off the golf course and public is off the golf course, it just is. You just watch this thing turn into a piece of art. It's pretty remarkable.
Again, we're talking with Bill Paul, Golf Canada's Chief Championship Officer for the RBC Canadian Open, and you guys have another great field. This week for, you know, despite the fact that everybody's coming back from across the pond, the schedule change next year puts you guys, you know, right next to the U.S. Open. What do you see, you know, does that change the dynamic as well? Or are you still anticipating having a great field as well for the next one?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's certainly a game changer for us in a lot of ways. And I mean, let's just deal on two things. You know, inside the ropes, it's not just about a date change from a July to a June date. It's about what's happening on the PGA Tour. And when you look at it, I think, I mean, I'm a firm believer, and I always thought at the very beginning that the FedEx Cup should end prior to the start of NCAA and NFL football. Mm-hmm. I think it just strengthens the golf, and certainly Commissioner Monahan and his staff have made that change. And so I think it tightens up. There are a couple tournaments that were, you know, moved to the fall schedule. There's a couple new ones on it in Minnesota and Detroit. And I think it just players are going to play more. I'm one that thinks the FedEx Cup is working. You can tell in years where you used to get a lot of WDs leading up to event, but guys want to play. Guys want to have better positions. Those playoffs go from four events to three events. So, you know, you want to be in there. You want to get that chance to win that cup and win that prize. And so I think inside the ropes, you're going to see at a lot of events, you're going to see a change. For us, I just think you're going to see a bigger change. You're going to be in the continental North America. You're going to come out of sort of two majors. There's two majors left with the U.S. Open and then the British following that. So I really believe it primes us. I think more importantly, however, outside the ropes, you know, in Canada, that end of July, beginning of August is a huge holiday season, the summer holidays. And, you know, people are still up north, down south, out east, out west. And I think when you're selling and you're trying to get someone to think of buying this 30-person skybox, and he's trying to, you know, determine how many of my customers are going to be here during that end of July period, whereas in June, you know, school is still in, it hasn't really affected any sort of holiday season. So I think we're going to get a bigger boost there. And then just the GTA and, you know, the Greater Toronto Area and Southern Ontario and upstate New York, and that the amount of festivals and events that just, when you're in the middle of July, you're swamped by all these, you're surrounded by them. At least in June, we're at the forefront of them, and it just gives us a better opportunity to be a lead-off event. So I think in a lot of cases, it just makes it a game-changer for this event and can take us from, you know, sort of a great level that we're at now, but puts us at a higher level. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, and we never want to see places lose events, but by moving the FedEx back, it extends the wraparound season. It starts even earlier. I'm not a huge fan of it just because I want to have the opportunity to miss golf. I think one of the reasons we're also football crazy or even the seasons are shorter, and you just start to miss it, and you find yourself, you know, waking up early to watch the combine highlights from the night before because you're so desperate for it. And golf has gotten away from giving us a chance to really miss it. We both grew up in New England, which is, you know, just like being in Toronto. And it's like, you know, I remember when they would get out to Hawaii, there hadn't been any golf at all. And we just wanted to watch. My dad used to call it weather porn. We'd be sitting there in the snow in New England and watching them play in Hawaii, and we'd missed it. So, I mean, do you see the same effect of the wraparound season, that maybe it just doesn't give fans a chance to miss the game?
Yeah, I think when you're here, it's not unlike a lot of other places. You just get, certainly in Canada, the hockey season starts, and you know everybody gets into another mode. And I mean, we all get excited about the NFL. I'm a huge NCAA football and basketball fan, so it's your mind goes in a different mindset. And I just think the opportunity to get away from something, much like we get away from them, we look forward to the start of the football season or the hockey season or the basketball season or whatever. I think that's what golf is losing. Now, on the flip side, you still have a lot of venues. You still have a lot of sponsors that want to sponsor an event. You still have players that want to play. There's just a lot of great players out there playing on different tours. And so, you know, from a PGA Tour standpoint, they have a number of members that they need to take care of. So, I mean, when you got someone that wants to put up a purse and put up a, you know, and has a venue that wants to play it, it's hard to say no. So, I mean, I get it from their standpoint. I still think the mindset of most people is that it still starts in January, and now it's going to end in August. So, at least from an ending standpoint, I think it's gonna help the game, and I just think from that shorter period of time, it's gonna be a benefit as well.
All right, Bill. So you talked about how great the golf course is right now. The last 2 years, Johnny Vegas has won at 276, and last year at 21 under at 267. Where's the winning score gonna fall this year? Somewhere between those two?
I think so. I mean, I don't, you know, I look up today, I don't know they're going to get that low, but you know, look, I've learned a long time ago that these guys are just so good, and anybody that's dialed in, and there could be, it's not just one person anymore. There could be a dozen or two that are just dialed in, and these guys can go low. You can go up. I mean, look what they're shooting. You know, some guy goes out and shoots a 60, I mean, Fleetwood what did he shoot yesterday? 65, and from what I hear, he had a chance at a set of 62. So in those kind of conditions, look what people have done at a U.S. or a British, or excuse me, or even at a Augusta. So I mean, players are just good. Players can go low. I mean, I've always thought you could set up a golf course, which I think it is today. In my opinion, sort of that 14, 15, 16 under is probably going to win it. But if someone gets dialed in and you get a 62 in there or 63, who knows what the score will be.
All right.
I don't pay a lot of attention to it. There's somebody at the end of the thing that's going to be lower than anybody else, and he's going to accept a check and a trophy, and we're going to have a new winner.
All right. Well, Bill, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to a great event up in Canada.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.